Hi, I'm Adrian Bowles, Research Director of Sustainability Insights Group. With me today is Chris O'Connor from IBM's Project Big Green team. Our goal in this podcast is to provide an introduction to emerging trends and best practices for data center energy management, and to consider the role of IT in managing energy throughout the enterprise. Energy management is clearly a global issue today. With rising costs and anticipated scarcity across traditional energy sources, energy conservation has become a matter of principle as well as cost. Some industries are extremely price sensitive and view energy as a commodity. Some, such as healthcare, are more value sensitive. Across industries, however, IT in general, and the data center in particular, have come into focus recently as critical resources that are major energy users with rapidly increasing demand. The current state of affairs is untenable. Energy costs are going up along with a growing demand for more processing and storage. Traditionally, that demand meant that we would add more processors, more storage, and more desktop or laptops, typically with low utilization rates. Until recently, it was rare to consider the aggregate energy costs of these acquisitions, and rarer still to use energy efficiency as an acquisition criterion. In fact, we need to be able to measure before we manage, but so far, most organizations haven't done much measurement of IT energy requirements at a granular level. With data center energy consumption doubling every 5 years and energy costs skyrocketing, operating costs are likely to be 3 times the capital costs over 20 years. Server requirements are up 6 times and storage requirements are up 69 times in this decade. At this rate, data centers would have to grow 16 times in 20 years. These trends are just not sustainable. If they were to continue unchecked, the planet would have to be one giant server farm. Clearly, the key is not to just build more of what we have been building faster or cheaper. We have to do better. The good news is that there are green IT technologies and processes that can fundamentally alter the IT energy equation. From increasing use of virtualization, consolidation, replacing outdated processors with more efficient equipment, to advanced computing models such as cloud computing, we can do better. With new collaboration software, we can reduce business travel and encourage telecommuting, both of which reduce IT and enterprise energy requirements. A CIO who embraces green IT is really in good position to lead enterprise energy management initiatives because the tools to measure and manage energy are data-centric, and lessons learned in the data center apply in facilities management, too. That brings me today to Chris O'Connor, who's the executive responsible for IBM's investment in energy and environment software solutions. Chris, we've written about Project Big Green, and IBM's obviously demonstrating leadership in this important and growing area. Our theme today is the integration of energy management strategies for the data center and general facilities. So I'd like to start by getting your take on the problems and opportunities you see for IBM, your customers, the evolving green ecosystem of third parties offering point solutions.
Sure. Adrian, first, thank you for having me on today and appreciate the opportunity to provide some perspective. As I look at the green phenomena that's taking place, you know, green has many different definitions, but it all centers around being able to organize and provide an environmentally friendly and probably perhaps for the businesses that are out there of the world and the enterprises, an efficiency quadrant that lets them address the most common complaint we hear around the world today, which is out of power, out of space. And the need to go approach this holistically is probably one of the discussion points that we engage most with enterprises and people trying to understand what they can go do. There are really a bunch of factors that are driving them to this point that we see today when we deal with clients. And if we look even at IBM, we are a large multinational company in ourselves. We have some of the same questions that we ask of our own internal IT structure in terms of how we also can gain benefit from energy efficiency and apply that to our day-to-day business and applications of how we use our machines and how our people work. So a bunch of these factors that are driving the organizations, you know, just one, the flat-out costs. Most of the major enterprises we see in the world that sit around large urban settings are dealing with a chronic growth in cost coupled with a chronic shortage of space to handle the growing electronic infrastructure that is driving really the need for the energy consumption to increase along with the need for the facility and the IT equipment that supports it. So it's a cost-driven discussion in many, many cases as you look around the world, but not just a cost-driven discussion. That cost, as we just mentioned, is related to workload growth, people continuing to apply more and more digitization to the processes and to the business that they run is a very strong driver of this. So even if costs remain flat, out of power and out of space becomes apparent as people continue to digitize their environment and apply business processes electronically to what they might have done in other ways previously, whether that's manufacturing, finance, government, or a variety of other industries that are all enjoying the benefits of online or electronically oriented workload growth. As you kind of span the world, you start to see different levels of social responsibility take into this also at the same time. People wanting to be responsive to the different types of messages that are in the world today around global warming, and social responsibility in different parts of the world plays a predominant part of these thought processes also of how can I better align my people as well as my IT equipment to be most economically and environmentally friendly to my business as a credible starting point for being able to have everybody, quote-unquote, do their part. And as you look around at other parts of the world, there are regulatory mandates. Certain countries are actually regulating neutrality of carbon consumption and energy consumption, and customers are having to respond to that. They're having to figure out how they're going to align their processes and the work that they do to be able to actually show responsiveness and either gain tax and tariff benefit or tax and tariff penalty by not being responsive to these things at the same time. This has led to a variety of cottage evaluation type capabilities that will help evaluate your energy usage. And what we see happening now is we're just entering an age where the ability to start to link environmental capabilities with running your business is starting to become something that you can practically apply at the same time. And so in that, we're working with a variety of companies and customers, including ourselves, in terms of making those applications clear across the people and the workloads and the IT infrastructure that supports them become something that you can realize today.
Great. You mentioned a number of different vertical markets in there. Are there any in particular that are leading the way, or are you finding acceptance or interest in green IT across the board?
That's a very interesting question, Adrian. The context that we see happening here, there is without a doubt a very strong thread from the financial services sector as a particular vertical market or a vertical industry that has this question. But if you research under the covers, they largely sit, the financial verticals that is, sit in major metropolitan areas, urban settings. And if you kind of look around the world, companies that sit in major urban settings and that have business to do there and gain economic advantage by being in a London or a New York or a Beijing or a Tokyo type of setting all face the out-of-power, out-of-space phenomena in a more extreme fashion than companies that are far more diverse in terms of where their locations might be. And so the financials absolutely from a single vertical probably lead the way in terms of innovation as well as the statement of the problem. But if you kind of look underneath that, there tends to be a quotient that's also strongly associated with even governments or manufacturing industries or other types of industries that are strongly located in urban settings having an equal statement of the problem of needing to derive energy efficiency. And we have been able to look across the different geographies and see this carried out around the world.
Okay, great. Can you maybe describe for me, when you go on a lot of these different engagements, can you tell me about the level of energy management awareness or perhaps maturity that you encounter on a typical engagement? What I mean is, do most of the clients already monitor energy use for IT, and do they know how much energy the different devices and processes or maybe the applications themselves actually consume?
That's a great question. When we go and work with a client on this, we usually end up having a discussion around what are the different areas of the organization that we're working with is probably the first question. And you end up basically breaking the organization into different pieces. As you look at this, typically the facilities organization has done some degree of what I'll call airflow and conscientious work to make sure that how they've designed or laid out a data center floor to be consistent with, I'll call, good airflow mechanics and good cooling. And typically they've bought to capacity plus, meaning over-capacitized that environment in terms of being able to protect it from a power outage as well as a cooling and temperature type of format. As you wander outside of that perspective, the facility rarely understands what applications it is running, and it rarely understands which applications inside that facility it would need to protect or guarantee first in terms of how to actually run the business. And as you kind of go into the IT staff and into the application development staff and even into the production level people that might be using the applications and services, we find there's a dramatic drop-off in terms of quantifiable measurements in terms of, you know, this business process has cost you X watts per day, or here's the usage pattern of energy associated with these transactions that we do on a regular basis, or here's the amount of energy that is consumed by using this amount of storage and having this amount of backup capacity. We're just at the tipping point or the beginning point of people being able to understand that. Some of the new capabilities that we're trying to introduce, for example, from IBM, is that basic visualization. Bring you the ability to see by business process, by application cluster, by server grouping, how much power are you consuming, to bring awareness to that perspective. And often that we find then very elementary decisions can take place. But if you ask me about the maturity curve drops off very quickly outside of the facilities team to be able to understand how much power is being used. And even when you look inside the facilities team, they often don't understand the relationship to the business of what they do. So if you think about maintaining your business and trying to reduce energy, the last thing you'd ever want to do is reduce energy and shut the business down at the same time by accident. So if you're going to bring perspective here, you've got to figure out how to link these things together. And this is where we think people are only at the starting point of being able to do.
Right, but in your engagements, you can provide clients with a benchmark, those that are on the low end of the maturity curve, right?
Absolutely. So when we go in and we work with a client in terms of talking about where they are, in the basic mapping, we try to be able to help them understand what they can do for visibility. We help them understand what they can use, they might already have, just mm-hmm. to be able to get the metrics. And then we also, as part of what we're trying to do to the equation, we actually offer capabilities to bring into, for example, the IT management software, the basic systems management pieces, the ability for the first time not only to see, for example, how many transactions you have or how busy the server is, both of which are kind of common systems management things, we're bringing into it, so how much power is it using? And as you increase the transaction volumes, being able to bring you visualization to what happens to the power. And if you have idle servers, how much power do they use? If you have active servers that are busy processing data, how much power do they use? And the answer will be different in both cases. And bringing that visibility to the table is what we help people to do as you kind of move up the stack. We help people understand steps they can take around compression and deduplifying their data to be able to reduce the amount of storage that they have. Common industry statistics would already tell us that 20 to 30% of servers are used and only up to 30 to 40% of storage is actually used. And if you kind of actually look at that from an energy point of view, if you can get a handle on that, and you can get a handle on that in relationship to your business processes, you can start to turn things off or down and reduce the energy that's consumed. And this is where we're engaging with clients today, helping them understand that, get that visibility, and build those control elements in to be able to actually turn those things down. And it's exciting to be able to see clients get benefit, often by just bringing information to the light of day that they have in front of them.
Right. Great. You mentioned earlier a little bit about IBM using Green IT internally. Of course, IBM is not only a provider of products and services, you're one of the largest consumers, both for your own development and for things that you do in terms of hosted data centers. Can you tell me a little bit about any results that you might be able to share with us?
Sure. We've been embracing the notion of energy efficiency for a number of years. If you kind of start at the very top of energy efficiency around our clients, in which case it would be the IBM employees, which would be our people, we basically have allowed and encouraged and driven through our programs inside of IBM up to 42% at this current time of the IBM people work at home or in a non-IBM business location. So when you kind of think about IBM starting its business day someplace in the world, at any given point, 42% of the people are not in an IBM building or facility. In fact, we have taken this to the point over a number of years and reduced our facilities footprint to the point that if we tried to bring all of IBM into work, we would probably only have offices and space for about 70% of the employee population. So what does this let us do? This lets us have a smaller environmental footprint, right? We have fewer people on the road having to drive to work every day from a work habit point of view. We have fewer people in the office. We consume less power. We have consume less energy. We've calculated that our current savings at that 42% number is about $100 million a year to a company the size of IBM in terms of just the policy of being able to spread our workload and being able to provide software capabilities to people to be able to collaborate remotely without actually having to meet face-to-face or travel face-to-face for every time they need to do something. And that's just one end of the spectrum. On the other end of the spectrum, we have designed energy-efficient data centers where, for example, we have new data centers up to many thousands of feet, 70 and 80,000 square feet, that are achieving energy efficiency ratings of 70 and 60%. We have embarked over the past 3 or 4 years consolidating and virtualizing machines based off of utilization and the ability to consolidate capabilities, going from 3,900 distributed servers to 40 mainframes in some places, and as a result of that, receiving up to a 70% energy consumption reduction from going from multiple smaller servers to larger servers running the same workloads essentially, but on a far more concentrated power grid as a result of doing this. And so we're able to drive in some of our data centers energy efficiency and savings up to 70 and 80% as a part of what we're doing that. We've got a variety of different metrics that are there, but we take this very seriously. It's a part of driving our bottom line. It's also a part of our responsibility as a worldwide company to help show people, the capabilities that you can do if you think about this holistically from a people and a workload process and an IT data center point of view. There's a lot of different starting points you can do.
Right. Interesting. Now, you talked about different offerings here that that come together under the green umbrella or the energy efficiency umbrella. Are there partnerships in the works to build out your offerings, or are we likely to see more new products and services come primarily from within IBM?
I think you're going to see both. We can't do this alone, though. You're going to see us trying to figure out how to draw together the information of the world to allow people to make decisions and control the infrastructure. So you're going to see us creating new offerings, for example, that will allow you to see information previously that you couldn't see around being able to relate energy to the number of transactions that you have, or being able to create business processes and SOA constructs that allow you to efficiently move transactions from one server workload to the other, or collaboration software that lets you do things like distance learning. So you'll see us continue to do those types of offerings. However, you'll also see us partnering to make sure that the right information comes together. So, for example, some of the things that we announced recently are partnerships with many of the different data center and facilities companies that provide, I'll call it, supporting equipment around the basic IT compute power. So people that make air conditioners and chillers and PDUs and rack control units and raised floor equipment, all of this equipment has digitized. So it's available on the net. You can get an interface to it, whether it's a basic SNMP interface or something as current as web services. But you can chat with either the device directly and query it for information, Or you can chat with their management consoles for that data center equipment or facilities management equipment and be able to find out stuff such as temperature and power and even be able to issue commands, such as when everybody goes home, turn the power down or turn the lights off, and when everybody logs back on, to increase compute power and increase facilities' readiness to handle that compute power at the same time. So we're partnering with people such as Eaton and Johnson Controls and Siemens and a set of others that we all announced as recently as May to be able to work together around this ecosystem, to be able to do simple things like when everybody logs off Friday night, to turn the power down on the servers and to be able to affect the environmental controls of the facility at the same time. If you think about the return that you get out of these types of partnerships, it's as simple as 2/7 at one level. If most of the employees population of the world goes home for the weekend, which they do, if you can monitor and manage from a systems management point of view the transactions, you can then start to partner with people that make facilities management equipment to be able to do things like change the power equation, change the temperatures, change the thermals of what's needed as people log off and go home. And if you can do this dynamically, you've protected the business at the same time so that if people do come in on an emergency basis, you can turn it back off, up and on and move down those paths. But you'll see partnerships like those continue to evolve. You'll also see us working to supply information to the people that are in the carbon credit business. IBM won't get in the carbon credit business itself in terms of issuing those certificates, but you will see us partnering with those vendors to supply them with information on how much power is used and being able to validate our data and being able to provide that to those folks that will issue those certificates will be other partnerships and types of things that you'll see us doing. So it's an ecosystem, and we're going to need to play with those people and partners as we go do this, and we think the greatest benefit to the customers will be in bringing offerings out that let them get benefit and also take greatest advantage of what they've already got deployed.
Terrific. When you were talking about your solutions just a couple of minutes ago, it sounded like a lot of what you were describing was getting benefits from distributed computing and distributed resources. In my opening remarks, I mentioned cloud computing is something that we see as a green IT enabler. Could I get your thoughts on that?
Sure. Cloud computing, I guess in its most pure sense, is about giving somebody the ability to subscribe or request a set of capabilities that are delivered to them in units of quantifiable benefit. So that might be in units of processor MIPS or in units of storage or in units of processor network and storage combined together. And when you think about what cloud computing allows you to do is it allows you to handle the notion of capacity as something that you can dynamically request for versus something that you have to have always on demand in your own systems. So cloud computing is a tremendous enabler in its definitional form of being able to gain ultimate energy efficiency. It serves to move down the path of allowing you to solve the out of space and out of power, out of space equation that we hear so many customers talking about. Traditionally, people inside of their own business have planned for, I'll call it the worst case or the most aggressive case in terms of their needs. So they've bought enough server capacity to overcapacitize what it needs to run the application. They've bought enough network bandwidth to successfully always back up and have multiple paths and multiple standby capabilities to be able to allow the information to flow. They've bought enough storage and DASD and resource information to be able to successfully store far greater information than they ever have, but just in case it's there. And they've planned their facility to be able to host all this stuff. And if you kind of look at some of the equations that are available in the industry, you know, 1 watt of application that's actually running might yield up to actually 27 watts of supportive capacity to handle the needs of the business in terms of backup and full capacitization in a worst-case environment. Cloud computing and that ability to reach in and say, I'd like to be able to get this and use it for X amount of time, gives you the ability to solve some of those equations, to reduce that need of 1 to 27 to something far more like 1 to 1 or 1 to 2 or 1 to 3, because you can reach in and get the capacity you need, use it, release it, and give it back. And it also allows for maximum utilization by the cloud computing providers to be able to aggregate that together in one spot. And so in theory, and we think in practice, as people move further down the cloud maturity, your energy efficiency will actually get better, and you will be far less susceptible to some of the out of power, out of space things that we see happening as cloud computing becomes a reality.
Great. That's certainly consistent with our research on the area. Let me close with just a couple of organizational questions, try and give our audience a perspective on roles and responsibilities. First, in your experience with clients, who is it in the organization that typically gets it first, that understands the importance of green IT and energy management?
It's a good question. We hear the question from many different people. I would tell you 5 years ago, 6 years ago, as an industry trend, we found very few questions coming our way in terms of full holistic energy efficiency and economic advantage that you get there. But right now we are we're swimming in them, I guess would be the right way to say, in terms of requests. And the people that get it the most, or where the question seems to start, is usually at somebody that looks like the director of IT, or at the CIO level, or at the facilities executive level. Typically, they're the people sitting there saying, I've got application requests coming on board. I've got a set of standardized operational procedures I need to maintain today in terms of my environment, and I have a budget in front of me that doesn't close. And these are the folks that at some level are looking at this non-closure or inability to plan successfully for the business to get the advantage that it needs, that are then driving into the classic IT operations and the classic facilities operations groups that something has to change. And they're driving the question into those organizations looking for answers that start off around what can we use today, and do we have a long-term plan for how we're going to be able to actually handle this. And it often then leads to inter-domain questions or inter-organizational questions that typically don't always happen. So we, for example, are facilitating, in many cases, the facility staff and the IT staff starting a joint work plan, whereas in the past they might have worked cooperatively but as two separate units. They're now trying to figure out how they can work together on this notion of IT benefit for green energy, or IT benefit for energy efficiency. But we typically see the question being the hardest hit at the person that owns the budget that they can't get closed, and then we see it getting driven into the organizations that are driving the operational use cases of that and then pushing them together.
Okay. Well, you mentioned sort of other people coming to the CIO and the CIO taking responsibility with green IT in the data center. Can you offer some suggestions to CIOs who are sort of passionate about this and want to take the lead on the enterprise-wide energy management?
Sure. My most basic message is that nearly every enterprise we see has only scratched the surface of what they can do. Developing an energy efficiency plan can be one that can look very galactic in nature and can be very difficult to manage if you tie it all together. But there's a lot of things that we usually find that CIOs can start to focus on to gain benefit. And they need to break it down into components and then start to put a component plan together in terms of what they want to be able to do with it. And they can chip major parts of this into submission without having to have always re-engineered the entire organization at the same time. And this is the fallacy that some people, I think, have around this, which is at times they think they need to re-engineer everything to gain energy efficiency. But there's a lot of different things you can do to, quote-unquote, get green. You can start with basic things such as looking at your scheduling software that you might have that is around your workloads and just asking yourselves, do I have applications that I can run at low tariff rate times, right, and being able to take advantage of that. And that might be something people already have, and it's just a process change. Looking at how often you compress your data. looking at how often you deduplify your mail files. Those types of things, if you look at frequency and you look at impact, can drive different utilizations on storage and the amount of energy that's required around it. If you go look at things such as hotspots on your floor, you go measure some of those. There's both software and services that can be applied for being able to do that. You can drive different types of capabilities. You can do stuff like take your systems management data that you have today and just start to basically map it to what do I do for power when my transactions die off. We all have periods of time where our people go home, I hope. When the transaction workloads die down on certain servers, what do I do? Can I buy servers that are more efficient? Do I have the right servers from an energy efficiency running the right workloads? Not all servers are made equal, and some servers consume more power than not. Am I reading the brass tags or the power tags that are on all the servers as a part of what I do for my core workloads that I think are going to be most labor-intensive or energy-intensive? A whole variety of things you can do there. Can I move my workloads around to gain better advantage in terms of using eForms? And then up at the people level, which is something people often forget, can I drive an energy equation that changes the way my people work? And this is something where IBM has got kind of direct measurement of, but it is an area that often people forget also, which is being able to run the building differently than you run it now might mean that your people can work differently and actually enjoy some of those benefits at the same time if they have the ability to collaborate and work in the same way. So there's a bunch of different areas you can start on. We've developed, from IBM's point of view, kind of a crib sheet that we use with CIOs to help them understand what they can do to get themselves greener. A lot of these items are as simple as process and planning. Some of them involve new capabilities, but not all of them. And in some cases, they're sitting right in front of people just waiting to be taken advantage of. And I would encourage CIOs to sit down and have a work session on the agenda that they'd like to pursue, look for the quick hitters they can get benefit out of, and I think they can get started today.
Excellent. Well, thanks, Chris, and thanks to our audience for joining us today. As we've seen, green IT is emerging as a logical starting point for enterprise energy management. The green IT tools and techniques we've been exploring today are low risk with solid economic returns, and I think they should be a high priority initiative for leading CIOs. For more information on these topics, please go to www.ibm.com/software/green. Again, on behalf of Chris O'Connor and myself, thanks for joining us.